Oh, look who it is.
Hey, we even shop at the same store. Hey,
the toilet store. What's up, y'all? Happy Monday. Welcome back.
You almost said Friday, didn't you?
Yeah. Happy Monday. Welcome back.
Oh, look at that hype train.
Oh, hell yeah. Jamaica Raquel, thanks for that resubscription.
Thanks for that resub. How's everybody doing? Hope you had a fantastic weekend.
I know I did.
I watched a lot of stuff.
Me too.
I can't remember if I finished Cobra Kai last weekend or this weekend. When did I text you?
I think that was last weekend.
Wait, when did we have that earthquake? Was that Saturday night?
No, that was during the week.
Oh, that was during the week?
Yeah.
Guys, I don't remember anything that happened.
That was during the week, I think.
Was it?
I can't remember. I don't know.
I don't know either. But yeah, we did have that earthquake a couple nights ago. That was weird.
Yeah.
It was very unexpected. But anyway, I finished Cobra Kai. I loved it. It was great. Was it Friday night? It might have been Friday night.
I think it was Thursday night, maybe.
I can't remember. It must have been the weekend, because I didn't spend the night at Emily's house on the weekdays. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's not relevant. But yeah. I finished Cobra Kai season 1 and 2. You were right. The end was crazy. Just a giant, enormous fight in the school that turned very brutal.
Yep.
It was very crazy.
I loved it.
But I loved it. It was great. It's like one of those shows that...
Popcorn.
Yeah.
Pull it out.
You're just like, yeah, give me this. This is the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved it. Everything that they led up to, that they revealed, all the stuff that happens. I'm like, oh, let me get some of this drama.
I can't wait for season 3.
Yeah, apparently a lot of people are asking like if Netflix is really going to like bring the game for season 3. And I guess they had shot it prior to it being acquired by Netflix.
Yeah.
So it's still, I think, going to be like the YouTube original show.
Yeah, and then it's in Netflix's hand from there.
Exactly.
I think what I read.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's like... still in post-production right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think they're still working on... Or maybe it was that it was done and they're just kind of holding on to it until a Netflix release.
Do you know when season 2 came out? Was it last year in 2019?
I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I imagine that they probably want to have, like, want to be fully in charge of the, like, marketing rollout.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that they kind of want to hold on to it. I'm sure they probably feel pressure from people to, like, put it out now.
Yeah.
But I do think that the hype of, like, how much people have loved or at least talked about it...
Yeah.
In the last, like, few weeks that it's been out on Netflix, I think it made people very, very excited.
Yeah.
Or Netflix very excited about the prospect of, like, advertising and marketing a season 3. And I think they'll have probably way more money to do it via Netflix.
Totally.
Even though Netflix is kind of going through this like weird thing because of that movie Cuties, where
people
are like canceling their accounts. But
yeah, I don't think it's going
to
be a big permanent.
People hop
Netflix.
On these like trends of canceling Netflix, but then when they're like, oh, Stranger Things season 4, they're like, I guess I gotta re-update my account. You know, and you're just like, man, if you already plan on doing that, just keep it.
Yeah,
you know, it's really really weird.
I caught up on Raised by Wolves. Absolutely nice. Loving that show. I love good, weird sci-fi.
Yeah, I'm still behind on it.
It's fucking gruesome and uncomfortable. Just good Ridley Scott sci-fi. And then I made a cheesecake, and that was my weekend.
It looks good.
I made a cheesecake. I got a little tipsy, and I was like, what if I made a cheesecake with Snickers and Twix in the crust? So I made an Oreo cheesecake and then ground up some Snickers and Twix. And then I cut up Snickers and Twix and put them on the bottom. And then I made chocolate cheesecake. And then I made peanut butter cheesecake. And I swirled them together. And then I topped it with caramel and chopped nuts and more Snickers. And everyone was like, this is top notch. And I was...
My mom even texted me. Was like, can you ask Lucas to give me the recipe for that cheesecake? I was like, all right.
I was like, I don't know why I keep making these because my taste buds are kind of out of whack. So I was like, I don't know.
What does it taste like to you right now?
Everything's just kind of like halfway tasty.
So you just have to like stock it up with flavor to just like feel one thing?
Yeah.
Oh, man. It looked really good, though.
I guess it was. People liked it. Anyway, that was my Saturday.
Yeah.
I made a cheesecake all day. It's fun
That's
stuff.
Good. What about yesterday?
Yesterday I just kind of messed around in like After Effects and Photoshop all day, just playing around with some effects I'd never learned.
Yeah.
Just, like sometimes I'll just like pull open a program and be like, and watch some tutorials and try to make some stuff.
Are you trying to learn how to use Blender? I thought I saw that.
I'm going to. Yeah. Yeah, I downloaded it and I haven't like done
it's
any of the
free,
tutorials.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's completely free. It's a 3D modeling program for like 3D effects
and
stuff.
I've heard it's gotten better and better and better over the years. And I'm like, the fact that it's free is like crazy.
There are like very, very expensive alternatives, and Blender does a lot of the same.
Mm-hmm.
I think you just kind of pay for the UI of these other programs and also their industry standard files.
Yeah. What did I do this weekend? Well, I caught up on Cobra Kai. That was great. On Saturday, I started watching Scream, the TV series on MTV. I didn't realize that people did not know that that even existed, because I had a few people tweet at me and they were like, oh, this is a... I didn't even know this was real. Yeah. It came out in 2015 on MTV for the first two seasons. And then season three, it moved over to VH1. And by season three, it kind of became an anthology series. The first two seasons deals with the same group of people. And then the third season goes into another state. I think did all brand new characters, which I actually kind of like. The first season was good.
Yeah.
And I think the second season would have been better if they would have just ended that story and gone and done something else.
I might want to watch this. I don't know. Because I like cheesy, good horror stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a slow burn because we're so used to Scream being a 90-minute movie. And it just kind of like gets through the story. And you wrapped it up and you're good to go. And then the next movie, they do something different. Whereas this is... They're only about 30 to 40-minute episodes. So they're not super long.
Yeah.
But, it's like you're doing, I think they're like 10 episodes a season, 40 minutes. So there's like a week's worth of content. So it like after you get to like episode six and I was like, oh, this must be the second to last episode. I'm like, no, there's four more. And then you get to episode eight. You're like, this has to be the next one. And then it's like still two more to go. I'm like, Jesus, just get to it. But it was fun. I liked season one. I'm not digging season two as much. It's a little slow. And that's a little frustrating when you feel like first season was already kind of slow in parts.
Yeah.
I also did start watching season three first on accident. But because it's an anthology show, it doesn't really matter in that regard. But it was fun.
Anthology as in every episode is a new? Or
no.
Okay, the seasons.
Yeah, like season three was supposed to like kick off the anthology,
that's
but
very
then they canceled it.
Like, I don't know how you drag out that just like mass serial killer idea throughout a one season show. You'd have to add in a lot of stuff, I'm guessing.
And the show really, because as we know, Scream really, like, they talk about the tropes and it's very meta in that regard, where they bring up things of like, what does the killer do and all this sort of stuff, and it has all of that stuff in there, and I think it actually utilizes it very well. It finds interesting ways to weave in more modern stuff like podcasting and vlogging and and live streaming and like, that sort of stuff and how we're using it currently and not, let's say, how it was used 20 years ago. So I like that element of it. And season two dives into that even more.
Yeah.
Forums and YouTube comments and that sort of thing and like Instagram and all that sort of stuff. And I enjoy it, but I think those episodes probably could have been... I think instead of a 10-episode season, we could have done 8. And I think we could have got through like the meat and potatoes of the story better.
Yeah.
And it does similar stuff with the movies where, you think the villain is one person. It could be two people. It could be three. It could be male, female. It's great. I like it for that. Season 2 plays with some more stuff. I'm not through it completely, so I'm still kind of discovering what's going to happen. But season 3 is great. Season 3 has RJ Kyler, who played the Blue Power Ranger in the movie that came out last year. Keke Palmer is in it. It's got a cool cast. I just need to kind of get through season 2 before I jump over. But
cool.
It came out 5 years ago, and I think season 3 was delayed by like a year or something.
Yeah, I remember that a long time because I feel like there was like a panel at my first year at Comic-Con for Scream.
I talked about it.
Yeah.
Wes Craven was a part of it for the first season, and then I think he ends up passing away somewhere in between the two seasons.
Yeah.
Question, does the color of the logo change with the content? RPG travel games. I would say that we're not married to one color representing a particular thing. It's kind of going to be an evolving thing.
Yeah.
It kind of just depends. And it also just kind of depends on like what the show is.
Yeah.
If we feel like a certain show might fit a different color better, then, it'll...
Make it its own
We'll
logo.
Make it that color, yeah. But, yeah, we're not married to any particular color being for any specific thing, so...
All right, so what are we doing today?
What
are we doing this week? Welcome to Hyper RPG.
Welcome. We're playing a game called Photosynthesis
after this Hypercast episode. We're going to be playing Photosynthesis. It's a tabletop RPG game. Came out in, like, 2017. It's very, very highly acclaimed.
Mm-hmm.
But I was reading the rules. It's going to be a really fun game. It's really cool. And then after that, we have Game Master's Gauntlet, yeah. Episode 2.
Episode 2 of 4, halfway there.
With Game Master Abria Iyengar this week.
Yep.
So that would be dope.
Make sure you guys show up for that, because we do a lot of interactive voting and polls and stuff.
Yeah.
You guys are in charge of a lot of the decisions that some of the characters will make. And you also decide who the GM is going to be on next week's show. And obviously, whoever we vote into the GM seat next week, the final player will then automatically be defaulted to the finale.
The finale.
Yeah.
Then after that, tomorrow, well, we'll start the day as we always do with Hypercast.
Mm-hmm.
We have a fun new thing. Well, first of all, we'll do our script read. Not sure what script yet, but we'll figure that out and we'll let you know. But then at 7 p.m., we have the premiere of a Kids on Brooms RPG. Mastered by Matt Acevedo. It's called Balboa Cantrip Academy. It's going to take place in the San Diego area, which is very cool, because that's a very, very... we make a lot of jokes about, like, the San Diego culture and stuff on our channel, and Matt and his love for San Diego. But San Diego is a very, very old city. This city is one of the oldest cities in the West.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the oldest city in California. But anyway, it's a very, very old city with an awesome history. It's very close to Mexico, and there's a lot of voodoo magic kind of stuff. Not voodoo, but you get the idea. anyway, that will be at 7 tomorrow, so you should tune in for that.
Yeah,
it's gonna be dope.
Excited about that.
Wednesday this week, more fun stuff. Are we doing Hypercast on Wednesday?
As far as I know, yeah.
Okay.
Which means I have to figure out how I'm going to step off camera, which means Malika's going to have to come down here and be on the show. Sorry, Malika, I'm putting you on the spot.
Oh, you know what? Before we even get into Wednesday, on Tuesday, our players are Cynthia Marie, Brendan Mylove, Omar Najam, and Janelle Santa Cruz. They will be playing in Matt Acevedo's Balboa Cantrip Academy.
Woo!
Yeah, should be a good
Woo!
Time. Should be a
I'm putting you
time.
On the spot and saying that you're going to have to do Hypercast on Wednesday, because in order for us to switch to
Spy Island,
I need time to prep.
So Wednesday, we have Spy Island.
Spy Island.
And we have players Mika. She's going to be playing.
I've
you know Mika,
her.
Right?
I've heard of her, yeah.
Mika, RIP Mika, at RIP Mika on Twitter. She's going to be there. Matt Acevedo, Katie Rich, Meredith McNeil, Ptolemy Slocum's coming back, and Neil Ghosh. And you may have never heard of some of these people. It's going to be their first time on the channel. Trust me, I know all these people. They're very, very funny. Neil Ghosh is one of the funniest people I know. Katie Rich is also incredibly funny. A lot of these guys were in a similar same improv groups, and I've seen them perform. It's going to be a funny time. They have great chemistry.
Yeah.
Also, Wednesday, we're premiering a new Warhammer 40K Wrath and Glory RPG. We have players Knox, Fob, John Wong, Bert Jennings, Emily Rose Jacobson. It's going to be GM by Naeem Stewart. That's going to start at 7. And that's going to be really, really cool.
Back-to-back Warhammer,
it'll
baby.
It'll be a tabletop RPG Warhammer game, pen and paper. And then the effects of what happened in that game, we will sort of incorporate them into our Thursday Wargaming Warhammer game, where we play the actual Warhammer 40K tabletop game.
Yeah.
So RPG is going to be affecting the board game or tabletop game on Thursday. And then Friday we have, fun, probably some sort of Risk board game maybe, or like we were thinking Clue. I might learn Clue. And then Hyper Hip Clips to end out the week. And that's our week.
That's the week, baby.
That's a whole week.
That's a whole week's worth of stuff.
It's going to be fun. I'm excited for this week. It's going to be a good week.
It's going to be a good week. It's going to be a whole lot of good stuff.
It's going to be a good week.
It's going to be a good week.
It's going to be a good week.
It might be decent.
It's going to be a decent week.
Bro, we're in week 4
Super
of
deep.
This month. It's crazy. How are we on the 21st
already? God, dude. It's September 21st.
How?
I got a dentist appointment tomorrow. I got October starting next week.
It's crazy. Guys, how did we already get to the 10th month of the year?
What? I got to pay rent in 9 days.
That's so insane. It's like, it's been crazy.
I just paid rent. Why do I have to do this every month? For the rest of my life till I die? Come on.
It's kind of nuts to me. So on Saturday, I also ended up going over to South Pasadena There's a house next to the Myers house. It's called Sugarman Gallery. And they have you and I went there last year.
Yeah.
We did a whole like live stream from South Pass. It's called Sugarman Gallery, and they just opened last week. They had the official opening of the gallery, and they had some new stuff come in.
Nice.
I was supposed to go last weekend, but because we were debuting Game Master's Gauntlet, I ended up pushing it. And so we went last week, and they had a band playing there. We missed the band, unfortunately. They played last night, but they're outside of the house playing Halloween music, which I think is really cool. But we went to the art gallery and stuff, and it's so nuts to me to think that was a year ago that we did that live stream.
Yeah.
Insane to me.
That's wild. Yeah, that was at the start of October, wasn't it?
Start of October. I can't believe it's already been a year. But it was interesting to me to walk through South Pass, and we only walked through a little part of it, to see like how many more restaurants are doing this like outdoor dining stuff. And I'm like, man, we have come a long way since March, where everything was just like closed.
Yeah.
At the same time, I'm like, Emily and I talked about it because we thought like, what if we did go do outdoor dining in the patio area?
Yeah.
Like, how would we feel about it? And our big thing is like, we always like walk by the restaurant to scope out like how busy it is.
I'm like,
all right, too busy for
Dude,
my liking.
Dude, this place right down here.
Yeah.
Have you Mercado? Driven by there lately? No, the further down. It's like a new bar.
Oh, this like sports bar place?
Yeah, it's been nuts.
Super busy?
Yeah. I'm Jeez. Like, don't do that.
Yeah.
It's weird, man.
Inside and outside?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I thought we still couldn't do... Oh, indoor dining's been, like, limited, right?
I think they get away with it because it's, like, open air. Like, they pull the windows up, I think it's considered outdoor seating.
It's, like, outdoor with a roof or something.
They have those, like, big garage door windows.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, like, a weird workaround rule.
Man, I drove by there, I think it was yesterday, and there were, like, probably 200 people there.
Oh, my God!
Yeah, I was like, how are you just doing this out in the open on a major street?
Jesus!
Yeah.
That's insane.
So I don't really know what's going on with that.
Yeah, I still have like a little bit of like anxiety about going to places like that. If it's completely outdoors,
yeah,
and the tables are like distanced well enough, I'm okay with it.
Yeah,
like I'm way more open to it.
I went to a wine bar on Saturday, and I trust them because I'm friends with some of the people that work there. And they were like, "We're doing it really well." I made a reservation, and two of us went, and we had a table with like a 20-foot radius.
Yeah,
because they've just got their whole parking lot open,
right,
and like five tables.
Yeah.
And we had some wine and cheese, and we interacted with one person
who
like basically like stood 10 feet away and yelled at us. Yeah. Like, what's good? What looks good?
What the hell do you want?
So I think there are places that are really, like you don't have to be worried.
Yeah.
At some spots, I think they're doing a good job.
And I think that's the thing about the places that we walk by in South Pass is like the sidewalks are very narrow.
Yeah.
And the outdoor seating normally is just like hugging the wall.
Yeah.
But they've added tables to like the sidewalk. And I'm like, yeah, but you still have like a regular road where cars have to drive down. So you don't have that much space. So I was like, I'm good. I'll get takeout and I'll go home and eat. And we watched Halloween actually, now that I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's, like, I was listening on the radio today that, like, I can't even remember who the interview was, but they were talking about how these CDC guidelines have, like, they kind of, like, secretly changed and then they changed them back. But anyway, it was some health expert being like, if you're outside and there's any good amount of distance between you, you're going to be completely fine just because of the, you know, huge expansiveness of outdoor air and the amount of like your breath is just immediately diluted.
Yeah.
But if you are crowded together, then there's no avoiding it.
Right.
So if there's any amount of space, you're fine. But if there's no amount of space, you're not fine.
Yeah. We also drove through downtown Pasadena. It was kind of the same thing. It was like they had put the tables out onto like part of the street and the sidewalk and stuff. But then I'm like, how do people who are in like wheelchairs get through that?
Right.
Like you have to go through that crowd of people. I'm sure that's like not comfortable at all.
Yeah.
And you only really have like wheelchair accessibility on like corners where the light is.
Right.
So like, how do you avoid that mess? Like you're obviously not going to go into the middle of the street.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's really weird to me, like how they do all that stuff.
This place over in Studio City, Jalapeno Pete's.
Mm-hmm.
I used to go there quite a lot cause they're like a Kansas City bar, like this weird, like Kansas City, they like Chiefs games are awesome to watch there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they have,
it's
been packed and they have put, tables out like basically in the street. They're like on the street
on where Ventura
where the parking is, and I was just passing by there, would have been yesterday, the same day that I passed over here, general admission I think that place. Anyway, I was like in the right hand lane and I just like drove by this table that was probably like 3 feet from me, and I'm going 35,
yeah,
and I just like saw their like napkins fly up. I'm like, What are you doing? Why is this table
that is so not
so
safe.
Close to traffic?
That is so not safe.
I mean, it was probably a good like 8 feet between us. You know, distances
still,
look a lot.
Yeah, but I mean, while you're in a car, so, but like we know how drivers like, are in LA. They don't pay attention.
Yeah, man.
And like, it doesn't take much to sideswipe a barrier.
I saw that table upcoming because you know there's like a big truck in front of me. So they were probably it was probably the truck that blew their napkins
sure.
up. But I saw it like very late, and I slowed down, and it's just like, man. This situation where someone's not paying attention is going to kill somebody.
You've got
tables in the parking area
on the
Where People Street Park. Anyway, it's we could talk about outdoor dining all day. I feel like it's weird how important we've realized this is to some people.
Yeah.
It's like, I need to go eat at a restaurant with my friends. I don't get it.
Yeah, I agree. Sorry, I just have to respond to an email really quick.
Sure, I'll sit in silence until you do. I'll just wait.
Thanks, dude.
It's like it's a weird thing to me, the passion some people have shown for needing to go to a restaurant.
Yeah, it's
like, have you all never cooked in your life?
It's weird to me, man. It's like, I was talking to Emily about this. I know that because we're 7 months into this, that people are going stir crazy.
Yeah.
I understand.
Right.
For us, it's different because, like, we work all day. So, for us, it's, like, easier to pass the time. When the weekend comes, I don't want to leave the house.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so tired from working all week.
You just want to hang out.
I just want to do nothing but watch TV.
I feel that.
So, I totally understand people are just like, I'm done being indoors.
My roommate has been unemployed for 6 months.
Yeah.
And he's just, like, looking for anything to do. So, I do get one side of it. I still don't get the demanding to be in a, like, restaurant with a normal experience.
Yeah.
Because that's been a popular thing.
Yeah. And I think, like, if you're at home and you're, like, going stir crazy and you need to get the hell out of the house, make some food and find a park. Emily and I have done that plenty of times.
Or like order food or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Have it dropped off at your door.
If you have a patio, like go eat on the patio.
Yeah.
You know, like we went to a restaurant once in July, indoor dining, and I've never felt so uncomfortable in my life.
Yeah.
And we were going to go do outdoor dining, but like indoor was all that was like available or something.
Hmm.
So we were like, should we do this? Is this going to be really awkward? We're like, let's try.
Yeah.
And you go in and you're in the restaurant and we ate so fast and we got the fuck out of there. And we were like, we're not cool with this.
Right.
So we were just like, we're done with it. It's like, it just did not feel comfortable at all.
Yeah, I get that.
And, I don't know. I like the only thing I can recommend to people is like find a park, make some stuff or order some stuff to go and take it to a park.
Yeah.
But the whole like restaurant experience, I don't know, man, like I'm not there.
Yeah.
But I know, like everyone's different, you know,
it's like not a need in any world.
Yeah.
I get like, I think it's just if people want to do something. So it's tough, man. You want to talk about the Emmys? Finish your email.
Sorry.
I'll talk about the Emmys. Because first of all, I've been watching Succession again. Because the first time I watched Succession, if you watch Succession on HBO, I challenge you to like drinking whiskey. And I challenge you to get through an episode of that show without wanting to drink a whole bottle of bourbon. Because there's something about that show. And I'm no billionaire or anything like that. But the way they talk, I'm just like, man, I need to just suck down some bourbon right now. So anyway, I've been rewatching Succession because a lot of my first watch through of seasons one and two, I didn't remember a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I went through it this time without drinking so I could remember it. Anyway, Succession did pretty well at the Emmys last night. And I highly, highly recommend this show. It's so, so interesting and good. Well written, well edited, well shot in a lot of ways. You should watch Succession. I highly recommend it. It's very upsetting, but also kind of eye-opening to some of these like very powerful families. And it's just great content. Love it. And it did pretty well last night, apparently. I only heard that it did well. I don't know what it actually won.
I think it's also incredibly frustrating that they didn't just... So I was trying to find a way to watch it, and the link that I opened up on CNN, it said you can watch it on Hulu or YouTube. So I was like, great, I'm going to go to YouTube and watch it.
Yeah.
I went to YouTube, and I searched for it, and I couldn't find it.
Yeah.
And it was after I did more research that I was like, oh, sorry, it's on YouTube TV, actually, not YouTube. And I'm like, when are we going to get past this point where we're going to, like, just show it on YouTube? Or
what's
like,
YouTube TV? Is that a paid thing?
Yeah, it's like it's kind of like a Hulu service, basically.
Yeah, I'll be real. I'll be 100% real. I don't care about award shows.
Yeah.
I used to. I just don't care about them anymore. But when I hear that something that I like did well, I'm like, oh, cool. I love that.
Yeah.
Because I would love the things that I like and the things that I think are good to get more press.
I agree.
But I just don't care to watch them.
Yeah.
I don't care if something wins or doesn't. Like, it's not going to change my opinion about
it.
It's mainly just to, like, I'm not going to be upset when something doesn't win. I'm just going to be happy when something I like does.
Exactly.
And even when it's something I don't like, I'm typically just like, oh, rad for those people. Because, you know, you work in the business we do out here, and you know that all these projects are put on by thousands of people. So, you know, there might be like one shithead or something like who's part of a project. But it's like, kudos to the team that made this work. Good for them. But anyway, it was cool to hear some of the highlights of the Emmys. I know Succession did really well. Schitt's Creek did, like, apparently walked away with a ton of, like, every comedy category,
Every comedy category, yeah. And I was asking Lucas about the show because I've never seen it.
Yeah.
But I know people in our Discord talk about it quite a bit. And I know people just, like, generally in the industry talk about it quite a bit as well.
Yeah.
I've never seen it, but I really like Eugene
Levy.
It's so
funny, yeah.
And
his son's in it.
Yeah, like, I think it's him and his son, like, co-created it, which is cool.
Yeah, it's so cool watching them work together. All-star cast, and it's, like, it's a Canadian series, and it's weird because it, like, and Cobra Kai is also a great example of this. It was on this, it's on some, like, streaming network, I think it's called Pop TV, is that right? That's where it airs originally.
Oh, really?
Yes, it airs originally on Pop TV, and basically...
Why did I think it was an HBO show?
It got put on Netflix, and this exploded it. Of, like, it got hugely popular, and now people are like, oh, I want to see it as it's coming out, so I'm going to subscribe to Pop TV. And that's kind of
I
like,
had no clue.
That's how Cobra Kai has been, too.
Yeah.
It's basically, Netflix has legitimized this show. It, like, a lot of people were talking about it when it was on YouTube, but...
Yeah, right.
A lot of people were not watching it still. But now everybody, like, a lot of people have seen it.
I had no clue about that that was the case with Schitt's Creek.
Yep.
So, I thought it was an HBO series.
And that's, like, that's a good thing. Like, that's just a very interesting point, especially with this, like, cuties controversy and stuff.
Right.
It's like, Netflix does have a just very popular and positive hype machine for good content.
That's so
Because everyone has Netflix.
That's so strange to me. That's like a Canadian show. It's kind of like, what's it called?
Letterkenny.
Letterkenny.
Yeah.
It's like, if without Amazon Prime, I would have never, or is it Hulu?
It's on Hulu.
Yeah, I would have never known that the show existed.
Right.
Wow, that's insane. I had no idea. I honest to God, thought it was an HBO series.
Pop is a cable network, apparently.
Oh, in Canada.
Yeah. So then it got put on Netflix.
Wow.
Is it on HBO? I don't think it's on HBO at all.
I thought that it was on HBO. I had no clue.
I know it's on Netflix. And
yeah.
I think Netflix is what made it kind of, I wouldn't say explode, because a lot of people were watching it and talking about it anyway. But I would say that it kind of really pushed it forward.
Yeah, and I think that's what's amazing with, like you're talking about, I think that's what's amazing about stuff like Netflix is, there are things that you would assume would be like a shoe-in for certain networks.
Yeah.
That would get, you know, the attention to people like HBO. But it's great that we have the opportunity now that things like Schitt's Creek can be discovered. Or Cobra Kai can like have a second life on something like Netflix.
Yeah.
And then expand out. Because, I mean, Cobra Kai has been, I don't know if it is now, but it was in the top 10 trending for the first 2 weeks it came out, I think.
Yeah.
Which
I'm like, now that I've seen it, I'm just really happy that that's the case.
Yeah.
Because you can tell that this was a passion project.
Yeah.
And it's so cool that now it's getting seen by such a huge audience.
Yeah, yeah. Damn, that's crazy. I had no clue that that was the case, but good for them. Good for Dan Levy and his dad, Eugene.
Huck smells the food.
Yeah,
he's like,
Huck's
okay,
like,
I'm up. I can get to work.
Lucas and I have the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Look at this dude.
Prosciutto and chicken ciabatta panini from Mendocino Farms is a world-class sandwich.
Thank you.
You're going to love it, Adam.
Nice. I'm very excited. I'm hungry. Some other big winners from the night were Watchmen, which, like, I know we've talked about in this house ad nauseum how, like, much we love that show. It's amazing.
Well-deserved.
Well-deserved. It won Best Limited Series. It won Writing for Damon Lindelof. It won Best Actress for Regina King. Best Supporting Actor for Yaya. Just like a really damn good show. So I'm like really happy that it's won all these awards, and I'm really glad that it got recognized, because I think I read that it's the first superhero-related anything that's been Emmy-nominated, which I think is really, really cool.
Yeah.
It's just like a really good show, and I know that there's a lot of people in our chat room who watch the show and also love it. Is it best to read the graphic novel before watching the show? I don't think so. If you want to, you for sure can.
It's kind of lightly tied in. Yeah. I mean, it's like reading the graphic novel, I'm like, okay, I understand that reference.
Exactly.
It's not something that relies
on it. It's
not
required.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my mom watched it, and she's never read the graphic novel. She probably never will read the graphic novel, and she didn't need that.
Yeah. Do not watch the movie for reference.
No,
the,
not
the graphic
at all.
Novel
it's completely
is
different.
Yeah, the graphic novel is definitely more.
Yeah.
You could.
It's more tied in, I guess.
It's definitely not necessary.
Yeah, yeah. And I think also the thing that the show does, so like for me, the movie does its best version of the comic book in live action.
Uh-huh.
The TV show takes the graphic novel and elevates it to a next level and tells its own story. And I appreciate both. Like, I do enjoy the movie. I think it was a little bit of ahead of its time when it came out. But I like it for the fact that it just kind of does what like 300 and Sin City did, where they just like they take the graphic novel and they just translate it to a screen.
Yeah.
Where I think the show, yeah, I think it takes that material and elevates it and tells a more different story and a story like that's a little bit more modern. And
yeah,
I really love that show. It's so damn good.
Yeah. I'm mainly saying the movie is like. The ending of the graphic novel is actually pretty important to the Watchmen series.
Yes,
and the ending
agreed.
Of the movie is different.
Exactly.
So
Very different.
It's like, if you're looking for reference material, you could go check out the graphic novel.
Yeah.
But it's definitely not required.
Yeah. I think if anything, if you watch the show, I have a very strong feeling that the show will convince you to read the graphic novel.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think if you read the graphic novel, you'll be like, oh, I understand now. I can make all these connections.
Yeah.
But I don't think you have to read it before.
Right.
If you just kind of want to go into the show and just be like, all right, well, just like let it wash over me.
Yeah.
Then I think like you'll be in a fine place.
Honestly, I think that'd be a better way to read the graphic novel is then watch that series first and then be like, okay, I want to see like...
Mm-hmm.
I want to see what the graphic novel was all about. Yeah. I think that'd be a really entertaining way to absorb that.
Yeah, and I have to imagine that majority of the people in the Television Academy have never read the graphic novel.
Yeah.
You know, but they still recognize that, like, quality's quality.
Yep.
It's just an incredibly well-made show. Well-written, well-acted.
So
the visuals are amazing. It's just, like, very, very solid and very good.
It's, like, something that came out at the perfect time for so many reasons.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And more than just politically, but also just like we're kind of like we've reached a formula of the superhero film is like now a formula.
Yeah.
So this is kind of like a sort of counterculture. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say counterculture, like it. I don't know. It's just different.
It's different.
You know?
Yeah. It's different. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Some other cool winners. I know that The Mandalorian took away some Emmys as well for stunts. I think they won. I know Ludwig Göransson won for best composer, which I think is really cool. I know the Emmys were broken down into like two things. They had like technical awards, and then they had like the actor show awards and stuff. So it was like it was spread across two nights. But I don't know if they aired the technical ones. I'm sure people here will know.
Lots of that stuff no one cares about.
Yeah,
so
which I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. You know, it's like I would like to. I like at least getting the updates to see what won cinematography and music and all that.
Yeah.
But it's crazy that Ludwig Göransson, I think he's like 34, 36.
Wow, really?
Yeah, he's one award away from being...
I gotta get my shit together.
I know. from being an EGOT winner, which if you don't know, that's winning an Emmy, a Golden Globe, an Oscar, and a Tony Award. And he's won all the other ones. He got an Oscar for Black Panther. He's won Golden Globes for The Mandalorian, a Golden Globe, whatever. What is it? It's an Emmy. Yeah, so he won an Emmy, a Golden Globe, an Oscar.
Oscar, Tony.
And he's Tony away, so. Mm-hmm. Isn't it a Grammy, not a Golden Globe? Oh, maybe it's a Grammy then. He got a Grammy, I believe, for Creed? I think it was Creed he got a Grammy for.
Really?
Yeah.
Dope.
Yeah, so it's pretty impressive at 36 to have that many awards.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
You know? And, like, there's only, I think, like, 12 people. Or, like, it's not that many people that are EGOT people. But, yeah, to, like, have a Grammy and all those other stuff is pretty cool.
And yeah, Zendaya made history. Mm-hmm. Not, I wouldn't say necessarily surprising history, but
yeah, right.
Really fucking awesome that she did as the youngest four lead drama actress to win that award.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, how old is she?
24.
She's 24 years old.
So you think you have to get your shit together at 36?
Well, I'm not an actor. You ever do that where it's like, man, look how well they're doing it, like how young they are. And it's like, I'm not an actor. What am I? Why am I comparing myself to this person? I've never tried acting in my life. But anyway, props to her. For very well deserved. And yeah, I wouldn't even say it was surprising because watching that show, Euphoria, she is just like, that show is hugely popular. And
It's an A24 show, and I started watching it. I haven't gone through the whole thing, but I watched the first episode, the premiere, the pilot, and I was like, dude, holy shit, man, this is insane. Like, it feels like an A24 movie in TV format, and visually, it's a incredibly well done show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love the cinematography. I know some people, you know, just couldn't get into it or whatever, but I'm into it from the pilot perspective, but I have not watched the rest of the show yet. You look good for 36, by the way, dude.
Thank you.
You look great. But yeah, that's most of what kind of what I picked up on from the Emmys. I also didn't watch it. I know I was reading that it had like the lowest ratings again. And that keeps to happen every year.
They keep going down. Yeah, I think people are just kind of tired of award shows, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I think I wonder like if people who did watch it found it more appealing that it was kind of more of this like home-based thing. I know that there were like some bits that they got out of it.
I see celebrity worship going downhill.
Yeah.
I think this was a much bigger thing at the beginning of my life. The first half of my life, it was just like
Academy Awards were like almost like the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
every
it's like
year.
I want to see what everyone's wearing.
Yeah.
I want to see Brad Pitt and Jack Nicholson sitting at a table together, like shit like that. No one cares about that stuff anymore. It feels like there's still like the people who read like gossip magazines and stuff, but I feel like that market's shrinking.
I also think that like again, the fact that like you can't just stream it on YouTube. I think they got to figure that out. Like, if people want to watch it, it should just be accessible to everybody. And I think it, like, doesn't need to be 3 hours long.
Yeah.
I think you can just do it in 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, there's a lot of stuff. And I understand, like, the bits are in there to kind of, like, provide time for the crew to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think they're, like, there has to be some sort of a way to streamline it to make it just, like, not that long.
Yeah.
3 hours is a lot.
Yeah, and I think
to ask people to commit to that for 3 hours is like, sorry, dude, people got other stuff to do.
Megalo's got a good point. Social media demystified celebrities.
It
revealed that they're just like everyone else. I think also that it's like, it's a weird time because a lot of people are struggling financially.
Yeah.
And that's been a trend, you know, people have been, you know, rent skyrockets while wages stay stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a different economical time.
Yeah.
Economical. It's a different time socioeconomically than it was in the 90s, and I think people are just kind of jaded by it.
Yeah.
Man, look at these people that made it through not doing, you know, 50 hours a week of work like I do.
I mean, I was watching the second season of Scream, and there's a person who shows up in the first episode, and I'm like, oh, man, this is like, you just grabbed a social media person just because they have a big following.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, all right, I guess, I don't know, whatever. But I agree, though, and I think, like, I think movie making in general, like, the magic behind it is kind of, has been kind of lost a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think that's for a multitude of reasons that I, like, don't, not interested to really talk about on this, on this show.
Yeah.
But I think, like, Hollywood is very much disconnected from the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Hollywood was like an island in the middle of the ocean somewhere in the Pacific that people thought was Hollywood. And now, over the course of, like, the last 15 years, The making of process has kind of like been broken down, and more or less anybody can make movies if they really, really want to.
Totally.
And I think that's kind of changed how people look at this industry.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, it's not necessarily about like being an outsider looking in. It's just kind of like, I don't know, just kind of breaking it apart and seeing like all the pieces that it takes to make it, whether it's like crew or actors or whatever. And so the whole like magic of it is kind of like gone, unless you're a kid and you're watching some amazing movie for the first time, and you're like, oh my God, Jurassic Park, or oh my God, Star Wars, or oh my God, whatever. I just think it's like different, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, I experienced that being somebody who like loved movies growing up. And now that I'm like kind of on the inside, it there is something that's like not as exciting about it anymore.
Yeah.
It's like kind of lost a little bit of like that magic.
Well, I mean, it was also like, it was a time when everyone had cable that I'm remembering too.
Yeah.
And these shows were always on, you know, CBS, exactly. NBC. So it's like everyone had it. Now they're just trying to be like, where do we show it? How? Like,
yeah.
How do we get more eyes on this?
Right.
We need to put it on every streaming platform. And it's just like such a fractured audience, mm-hmm. of where, like, where do I want to go watch the Emmys? I have to look it up where to see it. Like, it was just passively on when I was growing up.
Yeah.
We just got home, turned the TV on. It's like, oh, I guess it's Emmys night. Let's watch the Emmys.
Exactly. Yeah. And I honestly don't even know what channel aired it. I don't know if it was CBS or ABC. I think it was ABC. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if that's the case, then, like, why can't you just go to Disney Plus and watch it?
Right.
If it's owned by Disney, why can't that just be a thing? But, yeah, I think accessibility is a big part of it. And it's the same thing every year. We struggle with that here. I'm always like, what channel are the Oscars on? What? Where is it streaming? I just want to watch the damn thing.
Put that shit live streaming on Twitter and...
Yeah, like it doesn't, you know...
Picture viewership issue.
Obviously, like, I don't know the ins and outs of, like, the advertising and the reasons and all that shit. I don't really care to know it, honestly. But I think, like, if you're a network and you want people to watch it, instead of, like, every year being like, lowest numbers, lowest numbers, lowest numbers, then make it more accessible for people. You know, like, don't create boundaries for that sort of stuff. Otherwise, people are just going to they're just going to go on Twitter. Mm-hmm. They're going to type in Emmys 2020, and that's how they're going to get their news.
Just going to read it, yeah.
You know, and, like, I know after the fact they post the clips on the Academy's YouTube channel, and I do enjoy going over there and watching them to see, like, what they have to say or whatever, you know, to check out the bits. But if you don't make that accessible, like, live, then why the hell is anybody going to care?
Yeah.
You know, it's weird.
It seems obvious, but, you know, it's all tied up in money and advertisers.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah. So it's a little bit frustrating. Something that I thought was interesting was YouTube is apparently bringing back more human moderators after the AI system's over-censoring. I know, like, back in...
I like to hear that.
I like to hear that, too.
I love that.
Once the pandemic happened back in March, they ended up obviously like shutting down their offices. So they implemented a lot more AI or, you know, artificial intelligence to help with moderation of comments, advertiser-friendly content, channels themselves.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff ended up getting removed at the beginning of the year, whether it was channels or comments, and a lot of content ended up being flagged like crazy. We saw that from a lot of creators. I like to watch Philip DeFranco. And he puts out new videos every single day where he talks about news topics. And because AI had taken over that process of like vetting good content from bad, so much of that stuff was removed or was flagged or demonetized. And like, I mean, I know like we went through our fair share of all that stuff too, with some trailer stuff that we're making or even Hypercast episodes where stuff was demonetized.
Yeah.
But my hope is, so they talked about how around 11 million videos were removed from YouTube between April and June, and around 320,000 of these takedowns were appealed, and half of the appealed videos were reinstated.
Okay, so out of the initial 11 million, is that what you said?
Yeah, 11
About
million.
About 150,000 were reinstated. Yeah, that's a pretty bad... That's nearly 1.5%.
Yeah.
Or I guess at 11 million, it's like 1.3% of... Which is a pretty bad, I mean, if 1 in every 100 videos that they're flagging is like actually, it's been appealed and they've made a mistake, that's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad. And I think like that, in my opinion, goes to, I think that just like further kind of like hits the nail in the coffin, with like YouTube as a platform. Like Twitch has plenty of issues.
Yeah.
YouTube has plenty of issues. The one difference that I think kind of separates the two platforms is one... And I don't know if this is the case for every creator on this platform. I know we have this.
Yeah.
Is having like a direct line to somebody.
Yeah.
You know, it's somebody at Twitch that you can talk to.
We just, we email our friend.
Yeah.
Because they have that.
On YouTube, you don't have that.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have a person. Like, I feel like after you cross, and I know that there are huge channels on YouTube, the Philip DeFrancos, the Peter McKinnons, you know, those types of platforms, like the PewDiePies, Mr. Beast, they have people that they can reach out to, to Google. On Google's end to say like, hey, I have a channel issue. We don't have that.
Yeah.
Because we're at 130, I forget how many subscribers we have, 132,000. And like, we don't have that direct line to somebody.
No.
So if we run into an issue where like a video is flagged or video is removed, or there's like questionable things about, you know, within the context of the video, I can't email someone.
Yeah. There's almost nothing you can do about it except go through this appeals process.
Yeah.
And I know lots of times people will submit an appeal and it'll be like, obviously... I should be able to have this video up, mm-hmm. and they hear no response.
Yeah, they hear no response, or sometimes what will happen is the appeal will be declined, and because of that, you'll automatically get a strike on your channel.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? I'm trying to resolve this. It's like trying to talk to our government about like tax problems, and you're like, hey, I'm trying to resolve this. Sorry, we're not open, so you get a strike. And you're like, fuck, dude.
Yeah, or
come
it's
on.
That thing where you bring up an issue and, you know, your bank didn't even know about it, but now they're going to start charging you for it. It's like, ah, I shouldn't have said anything.
Yeah, you're like, ah, oh, thanks, dude. So, I don't know. I hope to see that, like, putting people back into these positions will help alleviate some of this, like, struggles and stress that creators are going through right now with, like, this whole process. But I know for us personally, like, it's not really going to change anything for us. If something is, like, I have kind of gone to the point where I don't fight claims anymore.
Yeah.
Because to me, it's kind of, personally, I think it's really stupid that we make a 20-minute video talking about a movie, but because we have the trailer in there, it gets flagged, and I'm not interested in going through that process of potentially having a copyright strike.
Yeah.
We've made some friends at studios where I can email them and I can be like, hey, is it possible to whitelist this video? Because, like, yeah, we're playing your trailer, but we're also spending 20 minutes talking about the context of the trailer.
Yeah.
And that's happened a few times where, like, yeah, you know, we'll take care of it or whatever, but it's very frustrating.
It's very silly, and it just feels like, I mean, YouTube is doing what they're doing, but yeah, on the other end of, like, you, like, contacting a studio, there are some that are just sort of out of touch,
mm-hmm.
or they don't want that kind of marketing in that way, mm-hmm. and I feel like that in itself is out of touch.
Yeah.
Of just people not really understanding the hype that is being generated on the internet, and you're helping them in that case.
Yeah.
That happens with a lot of video games where it's like, we don't want you streaming our game.
Right.
And it's like, what? Are you serious? I have an audience that would now go buy your game because they like the gameplay. But they don't want, like, stuff revealed, or they want it, like, you know, originally. And it's just kind of a weird thing to be like, I don't want you watching this version of it on YouTube. I want you watching ours.
Yeah.
It's like, What? Are you trying to get ad money on a YouTube video?
Yeah, or
like,
because
the real thing should be trying to sell tickets, right?
Right.
So, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, and I know there's games out there. Like, I know Ethan did a playthrough of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, and he's like, I got to turn the music down. And it's like, you forget about those sorts of things of, like, it has, like, all these famous artists,
iconic
Rage Against the Machine,
music,
Papa Roach, and you're like, I guess I can't have this in my video. But then it's like, does that make the playthrough a little bland?
Yeah.
I guess you can play, you know, some royalty-free stuff. I like the way Epidemic Sound does it, where it's like, if we collaborate with somebody and they end up using our video, or they end up using a song that, like, we own, we can hit them up and be like, hey, can we get this whitelisted? And 9 times out of 10, they're like, yeah, dude, we got you. And I'm like, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you for, like, acknowledging that, like, this is just the way it is, and, like, that just happens. Those types of things happen. It's very interesting. Some other news that I forgot to mention that broke over the weekend. DC Universe is closing its doors on original content. They're going comic book exclusive.
Really?
Yeah, they're changing the name of it as well. Let me just pull it up really quick. I forget exactly what the new name of it is going to be. But it's called DC Universe something Unlimited, I think it is. Infinite. DC Universe on Infinite. And starting I think at the end of this year, or I think it's starting next year, they're taking all the original content off of it, and it's going to go exclusively to HBO Max, which, like,
okay,
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
I feel like as soon as Warner Brothers announced that they were doing HBO Max, I'm like, cool, well, DC Universe is going to die.
Yeah. Are they still going to be making content for HBO?
Yeah.
They will.
So Harley Quinn renewed for season 3. Titans, Doom Patrol, Stargirl, it's all moving to HBO Max. Mm-hmm. I know Stargirl is also playing on the CW.
That kind of excites me because I have HBO Max.
So,
and
you can watch it now.
I've wanted to watch these things, but I'm like, I'm not getting another thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's cool news for me. I don't like things absorbing into each other, but I'll reap the benefits.
Yeah, and I mean, I think, like, DC Universe sounded like a cool concept and a cool idea, and I think it is cool.
Yeah.
I just think it's very niche.
Yeah.
I think it's too niche. I think there's a lot of DC fans out there, but I don't think there's enough of them out there who are passionate enough to pay $14 a month or however much it was for a dedicated service.
Right.
I think Disney Plus had that advantage that it could just slot Marvel into their service, and between Disney, Nat Geo, Star Wars, Marvel, you had enough people who were like, oh, I'm into the idea of having a streaming service for all of that stuff.
Yeah.
With the added benefit of now having 20th century stuff like Simpsons. And I think, yeah, DC Universe, unfortunately, was just too niche. Too niche. It will have comics on it, which I think is awesome for anybody who's an avid comic book reader. Yeah, I think it's a perfect opportunity for you to be able to catch up on comics, have access to their incredible library.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you have Comixology, you know, you can just continue reading comics as well. I'm a little bummed about it. I really liked the interface on DC Universe. I think HBO Max could learn a ton from them.
Didn't they have like a really cool comic book reader thing?
Yeah. I think that's the biggest thing. Like, I think the UI on HBO Max is so shitty.
It really is.
Like, the fact that it, on Batman Day, on Saturday, I went to HBO Max to see what DC stuff they had. You go to the front page, there's nothing talking about Batman Day.
Yeah.
I have to go to the sidebar menu. I have to scroll all the way to the bottom to see all the brands that they have.
Oh, my God.
And it has, like, DC, Criterion, all these things, like, at the very bottom of the list. I'm like, yo, this is why no one's subscribing. You got to put that shit at the top.
I know, and I don't know if it's just the way that, I don't know if it's different for different TVs, because it's like an app on our TV.
Yeah.
But, like, I spent like 15 minutes last night trying to figure out how to watch the new episode of Raised by Wolves.
Mm-hmm.
It kept being like, do you want to play this episode that you've seen already? And I'm like, no, I think there's a new episode out.
I'll need a
and
new
I had
one.
To like, I had to literally Google it to be like, hey, there's a new episode out, right?
Yeah.
And my phone was like, yeah, dude, there's a new episode out. And I was like, how do I go to the next episode?
How do I watch this?
I had to like eventually go search Raised by Wolves to come up to like the page for it. And then go into the page and go to episodes.
Yeah, I think their user interface is super clunky. I think they have a lot that they could learn from DC Universe and like from Disney Plus itself.
Yeah.
Who's going to be mad at you for like putting your top brands at the top? Like, if you have customers who are going to be like, oh, they're just copying Disney Plus, like, yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
You put your top shit at the top. You put DC, HBO, Uline Cinema, Warner Brothers.
It's just
like,
a
it
list
should be at the top.
Of your most popular stuff.
Yeah.
It's not like you're copying something.
Yeah, it's just marketing, dude.
Yeah, that's just how internet.
People should know that, like, Watchmen, Batman, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, like, all of their hit HBO shows, that it's all under one roof.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't know that Game of Thrones and Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter and DC is all under one roof, I'm like, that's a problem.
Yeah.
People need to know. Anyway,
yeah,
I've ranted
it's
enough
weird.
About this.
It's HBO Max is kind of... I like it. I like having it.
I love
it,
the app, and I love all the brands that they own, but it's not user-friendly.
It feels like it's like 10 years old.
Yeah, I'm like, guys, it's 2020.
Yeah.
Y'all need to capitalize on the fact that you own all the... Like, Warner Brothers, in my opinion, has some of the best properties in Hollywood. You would never know that based on HBO Max.
Right.
It's quite unfortunate. Anyways... We're going to be right back. We're going to play Photosynthesis. And then after that, we're going to be playing... We're going to have a brand new episode of Game Master's Gauntlet, GM'd by Abria. Don't go anywhere. If you do, I will find you, hunt your ass down.
Leave. Bye.